In the gradual verse of today's Mass of the Holy Family, we pray, Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, O Lord. They shall praise thee forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every winter about this time, a little bit earlier usually, the raccoons come, and they want to dwell in the house of the Lord. You can't blame them. It's nice and warm up there out of the elements, and they have a way of moving in and making themselves at home. You might have heard them during Mass. The good news is that's not the choir. That's just the raccoons are back again. And sooner or later, there'll be some traps. We trapped one this morning, and eventually they will make their departure. They can't get in on the blessing of dwelling in the house of the Lord because they're brute beasts. They're animals. But their presence and almost anything else in this world of ours can bring us a blessing. That is to say, by some kind of a comparison, by some kind of a lesson, seemingly even far-fetched, they do illustrate who gets to dwell in the house of the Lord and who does not. They talk today, and it's a wonderful ideal, about making America great again, and perhaps as regards some policies and some changes coming from Washington, there will be a little push in that direction. But you know what the greatness of our country always has been. It has been Christian families. And America will never be great again, regardless of the president or the Congress or the changes that are made in insurance law or military interventions and all of the rest. We'll never be great again unless our families are Christian again. You see, the animals behave this way because, well, they're animals. And just about this time, I always picture to myself what must be going on behind the walls or up there in the attic. There are these beasts, and they're fighting over some miserable little piece of insulation or wiring or food, if they're lucky, to be able to gnaw away at it. But with family life, it's not meant to be so. Our Lord came down from heaven to earth. At Epiphany, we think of manifestations or showing, to show us how it should be, because on our own we can't do it. Therefore, unless there is faith, a faith in God, the triune God, a faith in the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, unless there are the observance of the commandments, unless there's at least some sort of a nod in the direction of the supernatural life revealed by God to the Catholic Church, why then we in our homes are little better than those raccoons up there, those beasts fighting away and thus passing their day and their night. The difference is that we are not beasts. We are made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. And it is because man lost his way through sin that God sends his Son to remake and redo everything, to show us what the divine plan is and how it ought to be. It's not every man for himself. It's not the violation of God's commandments as though it makes no difference at all, as though there's just some sort of a vague suggestion. Nor is it a curt dismissal of the truths of Revelation. Jesus Christ matters, and his Immaculate and Blessed Mother, and good Saint Joseph, and the one true Church, the sacraments, our faith, our catechism, all of these things. And without them, well, you see what's happened. Man has descended. Families, which were once decent families, have descended and are descending more and more to the level of brutes. What can you do about it? Well, live like Christians. Obey the commandments. Follow the example of our Lord. Pray, and pray together as a family. It shouldn't be every man for himself, who's ever got the loudest voice, the most violent way about him, or the longest reach. He gets to go first, and everyone else has to follow. That ought not to be. Our Lord In the gospel today, you've just now read, as I read it in the Latin at the altar, our Lord gives this wonderful example. Epiphany is showing. So our Lord shows us how it should be done. So after he teaches this supernatural lesson and shows himself as God for one brief, bright moment to the leaders of the Jews, and their reaction to seeing Jesus as God, those Jews, is to think, we'd better kill him. We better kill him. And then Our Lady snatches him away, and it's over. It's over until our Lord is 33, and the time will come in due time for him to die for our sins on the cross. But then after that, our Lord, as it were, switches gears. And now he shows us the other way, the daily way of Christian life. He came not only to atone for our sins, but to show us how to live as befits children of the Eternal Father, so that right now, as Catholics, we could live in his house. Once we get rid of the raccoons, there'll be more room for people. And how we could, at the same time, prepare an eternal dwelling place in heaven. What does our Lord do? What's the chief point of it all? This gospel, the Feast of the Holy Family, the difference between a pagan family, utterly secular, and a Christian family. It's very simple. Scripture says, he descended with them, he went down with them to Nazareth. He went down with Mary and Joseph, his parents, and he was subject to them. He obeyed them. He obeyed them with love and with devotion. And more than once, he was God. Imagine how he knew. You know how when you're young and not so young, you think, well, I know how things should be done. Our Lord knew how things should be done because he's God and he knows all things. And our Lord, without any violence or biting his lip, he just kept still and he kept silent. And St. Bernard says, he obeyed, our Lord did, his mother, and for his mother's sake, good St. Joseph. And that's how their family life proceeded in very great peace, because there was obedience. It's that one primary virtue, that idea of silent subjection and profound respect. Could you say there's one virtue that people have lost above all? Well, it's probably that, because even godly folk have lost that, much less the other ones. But our Lord comes to show us the way. And a feast day like today's is meant to put us back on the right path again. In due time, we'll be getting rid of those raccoons, no rush. Sooner or later, there'll be traps set and they'll be caught and they'll go away and it'll be quiet again until next winter. Do you have some raccoons that you need to catch who have nested in your home? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.